Hi. So, it really is a good microphone. This is the third microphone Hemingway's series has been through this season. It's awesome. Thank you for coming out to the finale tonight. The finale was always a very special event at Hemingway's. When I started interloping at Hemingway's with Jimmy, it was always at the finale. Because that's where I got my start. He would ask me to put it together. So it's always been very special to me personally. And it's always been kind of a party, a celebration of the entire season. So thank you for coming out tonight. And thank you for tuning in on Zoom. Thanks again, as always, to White Whale Bookstore for riding in during the pandemic and really saving the series. I don't think we could have really done it without them. Anna and Halsey in particular have just really, really been a part of the Hemingway's team and family intrinsically. We just could not do this series like this without them. So thank that to them. And thanks to you for coming out. And thanks to Joan for putting up with me. And thanks to you tonight for putting up with me. I'm going to read this. And this was written by Jimmy Savitic. This is from his collection, Tales of a Mad Dog. If you want to check that out. This is called Neda Aga Sultan. Those fuckers. Those rotten fuckers. I asked my friend, would you write a poem about the woman killed in Iran? And she shook her head, yes. I asked her, did you see how they killed her? They shot her in the chest. She was innocent of any wrongdoing. She was just standing there watching. She was dead before she hit the ground. And blood poured from her mouth. I've seen it before. And I knew she was dead. Look at her eyes. Look at her eyes. She was dead. I wanted all the poets in the world to write a poem. I want all the poets to write a poem. All to write a poem. Write a poem. Anyone. Write a poem. Everyone, please write. Please write a poem. All to write a poem. I have been afraid for days now. A strange fear. Deep sorrow of fear. A fear that I know will stay with me until I die. A fear for my daughter. Fear for my granddaughter. A fear for the women that I love. Deep fear for my sisters. A fear for the older women that have washboard fingers. Fear for women that can no longer give birth. Fear of the death of songbirds. Fear for all women. My head hurts this morning. I took a shower and tried to wash off the days of sad memory. I thought of Whitman. For some strange reason, Dickinson and Neruda and Dalton of San Salvador. I spoke with them as I washed my face and the soap running down my chest, my pot of a stomach, pubic hair, penis, thighs, calves, my feet, white soap spinning, soap circling in the drain. I pleaded with them, help me write the poem that will bring peace in a world that knows only how to kill. Help me put out the flames of the burning tires and make the black smoke go away. Pablo, I know you have tried for decades to stop war, but I know together we can stop the senseless killing Help me, Walt Whitman, to silence the guns. And once we have silenced the guns, we can bury the guns or melt them down and make huge bridges out of them or even large ships. In Tehran, there are many guns. And all night they are fired into the sky, and there are many tracers that split the night. In the morning sun, there are many bodies that lay in the street, and everyone is afraid to bury the dead. I dried myself off, and there was a wet footprint on the bathroom floor. I dropped the wet towel onto the floor, wiping my feet dry, and I thought of virgins being thrown into a volcano by high priests. And it's crazy. Why do I think of virgins and priests? I'm not sure they were all virgins. But I want to believe they all had the innocence of virgins and the beauty of early spring. I want to believe if they were not virgins, only one lover would know for sure, and he cried alone at night with his secret. I know that the priests were not holy men, because holy men would not push anyone into the flames. Holy men would jump into the flames themselves, like the Buddhist monk in Saigon who set himself on fire. How he burned like a dry California pine in August sun. And he never uttered so much as a scream. He just fell to the earth in a burning heap. I remember the holy smoke coming from his burning body, and I wanted to stand and breathe the smoke into my lungs. I want to fill my lungs with his holiness and blow puffs of his smoke in the faces of the angry, blow smoke into the faces of the insane, into the generals, into the faces of presidents, into the great chamber of the United Nations until they choke from his holy smoke. I want to go to France and find the grave of the man that shot the arrow that struck Joan of Arc. And I want to dig up his bones. I have this strange desire to use his femur as a drumstick. I want to march the streets of Tehran and pound a drum using his femur to beat a drum. The woman's name was Neda. And I'm told that her name means voice. I am told that her voice will live forever, like the winds that kiss the tops of cold mountains. Her voice will sing like a songbird in the morning. Her voice will be louder than a rifle crack. Her voice will be like the child that whispers in a grandmother's ear. Voice. Voice pure. Pure as a cloudless sky. I can't help but wonder if the man that pulled the trigger of the rifle smiled. You know, they always smile when they watch a body crash to the earth. It's natural to smile, as if Satan had just tickled his soul with a feather. I wonder if he could feel the recoil of the rifle into the pit of his shoulder. You can always feel the recoil when you fire a rifle, and it has an impact that stays with you forever once you pull the trigger. I've pulled the trigger before, and I can verify the power. And yes, always the smell of the gun grease. It has power, and a smell of gun grease, it stays with you, and it gets on your tongue. And that taste lasts for days and never leaves your memory. Neda Aga Sultan is such a beautiful name. Almost as beautiful as soft brown eyes of love. And this is what we've killed. Jimmy started the Hemingway's poetry series, summer series, in I think 1974, as best as we can determine. Jimmy always had a different date, I think. But for as long as I attended readings, Jimmy always ended the event by saying, "You have honored poetry." And he was speaking to the poets, and he was speaking to the audience. And since we've lost Jimmy, Joan has ended every night, and we've done this in the same way. You have honored poetry. And I think about that a lot. I mean, it seems like a fine thing to say after an event, and everybody feels good about it. But what does it actually mean? I never really pressed Jimmy on that. Usually he was talking about some Bukowski book he was trying to buy for me. But you have honored poetry. And I think Jimmy, in his poetry, really tried very hard to honor the spirit of the thing as he understood it. And Jimmy was a great moralist. He loved dick and fart jokes, and he put a lot of those into his poems, which are great. But he was a moralist. I mean, so did Alexander Pope put a lot of dick and fart jokes in his poetry too. So it's a long, fine tradition. So when we continue to say, even without Jimmy here, you have honored poetry, what do I think that means? Looking back on the season, after this is the first time we've actually been together in person in years. We're not at Hemingway's anymore. We can't be there because, you know, we just want everybody to be safe. And we want to honor the series and Jimmy's spirit of it. I think what Jimmy meant at this point in my life, thinking about it, when he says, you have honored poetry, he meant you have become vulnerable to everyone in this room and to the world. And I think the poets do that. And the poets tonight, I know their work, they will do that. You have become vulnerable. You have allowed others into your most intimate of spaces by open invitation, knowing full well what at this time in this country that can bring in this world. And yet you continue to do it, because you trust that the people sitting here respect that, and they honor it as well. And I think that's what we do. The nights that we do this, we try to honor Jimmy, and we try to honor his idea of what poetry could do. And that poem that I read, I feel like, is Jimmy a very naked, very vulnerable spot for him. He was a very brash, loud guy. I watched him walk into a poetry reading of his own led by a marching band. That's a ballsy move for anyone to do. And yet it seemed perfectly natural. He just owned that. He is a continuing inspiration to me. And I hope to honor him as we continue on with the series, as we honor poetry. So I just want to thank everybody who has read for the series for us this year, and everyone who has come out, whether it's Zoom or live in person. You have all honored that spirit. And that is something that we can never have enough of in this world. So thank you very much. I'm going to turn it over to Joe. Thank you.